Welcome to the Embody Your Light podcast, a podcast that helps you to discover the healing power of your hands and reclaim your own wellness. Exploring the ancient Japanese healing art called Jinshinjutsu and the easy practices it teaches to improve your health and well-being. It helps you to remove blocks and stagnated energy so your energy can flow freely through your body and being. I'm Marna and I am a Jinshinjutsu practitioner, and for the last 20 years I have been running a successful practice in the Netherlands, helping people to reconnect with their inner being and innate wisdom. So today I talk with Kelly Mount, one of my colleagues and Jinshinjutsu friends. We met during a Jinshinjutsu class in Montserrat, an amazing monastery in the high in the mountains near Barcelona, which was a wonderful experience to be there high in the mountains in a big international Jinshinjutsu class with one of our teachers, Michael Wenninger. And since March 2020, we were together in several online Jinshinjutsu classes and even organized one together. For me, this has been one of the gifts of the last 2 years, to be able to be in those big international communities in these online classes. Kelly lives in Kentucky and has her own Jinshinjutsu practice for humans and animals. She teaches self-help classes and organizes Jinshinjutsu classes and is a teacher in training now too. Also, she is a mom of Austin, has 2 dogs, 3 cats, 2 chickens, and a small herd of horses. And we are going to have a conversation about the ancient healing art called Jinshinjutsu. So welcome, Kelly. I have really been looking forward to be with you today. And I want to start at the beginning. Can you share with us a little bit who you are and how Jinshinjutsu found you?
Absolutely. And Marna, I just want to say thank you to you. This is such an honor and privilege to be a part of your podcast and just to have had your friendship throughout all of these years. It was such a special time meeting at that class at Montserrat. And it, you know, we all have these transformational moments in life. And for me, that class was definitely one of them. And it was an opportunity to meet Jinshinjutsu students and practitioners from all over the world. And I've been able to keep those connections through the years. And I have many friends all over the world. And as you said, you know, the pandemic has been a time where we've all felt so isolated, and it has been wonderful to have this global community online where we still feel connected to one another and have gotten to meet our friends and develop these relationships with students and practitioners from all parts of the earth. So just going back to introducing myself, I've had a practice in Louisville, Kentucky, Jinshinjutsu practice for 15 years. And over time, I have had the opportunity to work with not only humans. Of course, I see a lot of clients in my practice, but I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of children. I worked at a place called Kentuckiana Children's Center before my son was born. And I got to work a lot with children who have disabilities. The center is a nonprofit center that works with children who have disabilities, whose families can still bring the children, even if they are unable to pay. And so it was really a remarkable opportunity. I got to work, of course, with some general wellness children. We have a lot of ear, nose, and throat, allergy, sinus kind of projects in this Ohio River Valley that we live in. And we also worked with a lot of children on the autistic spectrum, everything from more of mild cases, Asperger's, all the way to nonverbal children. And I have to say, Jinshinjutsu was an amazing gift. I also worked with children who had cerebral palsy and Down syndrome. And it was just a really magical experience for me to see what was possible with gentle touch and to watch these children transform and to be accepting and open to receiving. And it was really a magical experience. And I still see children in my private practice today too, but I also see animals. And all my life I've grown up with horses. I'm an equestrian, so it's perfect that I live in Kentucky. We're kind of the horse capital of the world and are so well known for things like the Kentucky Derby. But my husband and I raise American saddlebred horses. So it was a natural progression to take my jumper cables to the animal community. And of course, we have dogs and cats and chickens, as you mentioned. And I volunteer often for a local animal shelter called the Animal Care Society. So I've had lots of opportunities to share the art with animal companions. Really, I'll use my jumper cables for anything that will allow me to touch it. So it's been a really incredible journey.
What I wanted to know is, how would you explain what Jensen Jutsu is? Because
yes, you know, it's one of those things that we can intellectually talk about, but it is so dynamic to experience. But I do have my little 30-second elevator speech when, you know, I meet people for the first time and they ask what you do for a living. And, you know, well, that's a big question. And, you know, many people can't even pronounce it, let alone have experienced it or been introduced to Jinshin Jutsu before. So I always say, you know, Jin, like a bottle of gin, Shin, like your shin bone, and Jutsu. And usually they can follow along with that. And if not, I say JSJ works, the abbreviation. And, you know, most people, even if they have never received acupuncture, have some sort of sense of what is acupuncture. And so I often lead with Jinshin Jutsu is a lot like acupuncture without needles. We simply use our hands. And even though we have different language, we use the same energetic flows that they use in acupuncture. Most people have heard of meridians. So we're accessing that same energetic circulatory pathway that they use in acupuncture. So most people tend to have some idea for what Jinshin Jutsu might be like when you reference acupuncture. You know, gosh, 10, 15 years ago, people did not speak about energy like they do today. The concept of energy is so much more prevalent than it used to be, and people are so much more open to talking about it. And even in our kind of language today, you can say, oh, I walked into a room and you could cut the tension with a knife. You know, people have some sort of sense for energy. You know, if people want to hear more, I talk about the safety energy locks and analogies between the house and the electrical system of the body. And people seem to follow along with that. But I love what Mary Burmeister talks about in her self-help books, particularly in self-help book one. You know, what does make the heart beat, or what makes respiration and breathing possible, or what makes the car turn on when you put the key in the ignition? And it's all energy. And often people can relate to that because, you know, even though most people aren't good about taking care of their own bodies, which is the vehicle which they travel through life in, everybody's really good about taking their car to be serviced. And they wouldn't dream of not taking their car to be serviced when the light, when the engine light comes on, or when that service light comes on. And yet people don't do the same for their own health and well-being. And then you get to a place in life where you're by the side of the road and out of gas. Yeah. And then they think, maybe it's time for a tune-up. And so often that's the time in life where people get the diagnosis of some sort of critical illness or label. And they begin to seek out other alternative ways to help bring themselves back to a place of health and harmony. And so there's lots of different, I like to meet people where they're at. So there's lots of different places where we can introduce people to the art in a way that meets them where they're at along the journey.
I love that analogy with the car, because I always say, yeah, people pay like a lot of money for winter tires. And sometimes in Holland, there is not even snow for the whole winter, you know. Then I'm thinking, okay, so you have winter tires, but it's really sometimes strange. And also myself, I do that myself sometimes, like going a little bit over the boundaries maybe, or yeah. And then thinking, my body did not like this. I took it a little bit too far.
Yes, I pushed myself to the limit.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's all,
and pay the price. Yes. Yes. And it's also very, yeah. And sometimes that just happens. Life is sometimes busy. Things happen in life. Sometimes there's grief. Sometimes there's a big life event. And then, yeah, then sometimes you forget your own body sometimes too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It reminds us when we forget.
Yeah. And how did you meet Jensen Jutsu yourself, or how did Jensen Jutsu find you?
Well, it's kind of a funny story, an interesting and funny story. You know, I'm grateful in many ways to have not found the art due to a critical illness. But at the time I was introduced to Jensen Jutsu, my husband and I owned a furniture store in Louisville called Fusion Home, and we sold contemporary furniture and Asian antiques. And one of our customers was a woman named Cheryl Plain. And Cheryl Plain is my mentor. She's been practicing the art of Jensen Jutsu in Louisville over 40 years. And she's an incredible inspiration. She's 75 and still has a full-time practice. She has a disability. She had polio as a child. And she's amazing. She still lives on her own, still drives herself to work, sees her clients all day. And she's quite an amazing woman. But at the time, she was in the market for furniture. And so we developed a relationship. She bought quite a bit of furniture from us. And one day she came into the store while we were having a special event. And right before she came in, and there's a store full of people, I was wrapping up a gift at the cash wrap station. We had a candle on the counter, and I had set some of the paper on fire. And so in putting the fire out, I spilled hot candle wax everywhere, all over myself. And so then here she comes, right in the aftermath of all of this unfolding. And it was rather dramatic. And she walks in and she takes one look at me and she says, "Kelly, are you having a panic attack?" And I said, "No," you know, I smiled and tried to put my best face forward. I said, "Oh, no." And then, you know, she kind of looked at me a little deeper and I said, "Yes." And I explained what had just happened. And she says, "Oh, honey, you just need to come see me in the office for a Jensen Jutsu session." And at the time I had several friends who were seeing her for sessions. So I was somewhat familiar with what she did, but you know, she was such a good client. How could I say no? Of course, I'll come in and see you for a session. And you know, the rest is kind of history. At the time, I probably saw Cheryl for a year or two before I took my first Jensen Jutsu class. And at the time she was an organizer in Kentucky, and I had such a curiosity. You know, after a couple of weeks of seeing her for sessions, the general anxiety and stress that I was carrying dissolved, the tension in my low back from standing in retail on concrete floors, all of that had started to dissolve. And I had a curiosity for, well, why is this helping me so much? How does this work the way that it does? And I wanted to have a better understanding. So I went and took my first class. There was never, in those early days, an idea that I would become a practitioner myself or have any sort of professional practice. And my first class was in 2005 with Cynthia Broshi. And it's like the light bulb turned on. It's like my imagination was going, and I was hanging on Cynthia's words. And you know, it was really such a magical experience. So it just piqued my curiosity even more. And so a year later, when we had our next 5-day class, I came back and took another class. And then I kind of had the courage to experiment, sharing flows with friends and family. And I don't know, something shifted by the time I took my third 5-day class. And I began my journey and coming into the office and working with Cheryl and her clients. And in 2007, I established my own practice in the office with her, and we had a third partner, Jill Bath, who's now retired. And it was just the rest is history. When Cheryl retired from organizing classes, it wasn't long after that I started helping with organizing classes here, teaching self-help classes, and now I'm a member of Adele Lisa's Jensen Jutsu for You and Your Animal Companions. I'm on her faculty. And I'm also in training to become a Jinshin Jitsu instructor for Jinshin Jitsu Inc., the Mary Burmeister Jinshin Jitsu Institute. So it's just been such a fun journey these last 15 years.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment, isn't it? There's so much to discover.
Yeah, it's really, even today, I'm as much in awe as I was at the very beginning. You know, we see these profound transformations that happen. And, you know, as you know, it is not us doing anything. It is the spark of the energy from our jumper cables and that person's own innate intelligence helping to support the healing and transformation of their body, mind, and spirit. And to witness that, to be present for that, has been an incredible gift. And again, I'm just so in awe today, as I was at the very beginning of the journey.
Yeah, I recognize that so much. And also your story, like my aunt told me, you need to go because my aunt is my mentor. And then coming into that first class, I remember me asking the organizer, so what am I going to learn? And then the organizer started to laugh. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm coming here for 5 days. I need to have a babysitter for my children. At least tell me what I'm going to learn then. How could she explain this? It's so difficult to explain what you're going to learn in like a 5 day class. And as you say, I'm still in awe every day that I'm touching someone. But also for myself sometimes, and then I'm doing a self-help exercise or simply holding my finger, and it's already transforming so much in myself.
It really is, as Mary so eloquently said, it's the journey that has no beginning or ending, but the one that lies within.
Yeah, that's true. It's really, really beautiful. So, and are you using like self-help for yourself, like daily?
Absolutely. You know, in Self-Help Book 2, on page 2, Mary tells us that if we're utilizing self-help 30 minutes to an hour a day, we're really being our own testimony. And I have to say, once you become introduced to the art and introduced to self-help, it's really hard not to use it. Yes. And I find myself that, you know, often I use it much longer than 30 minutes or an hour a day, because you get so acclimated, and often your hands unconsciously go to places on the body, and then you become consciously aware that they are there. And then you stay with that in the present moment. Every morning before I get out of bed, without fail, I give myself the self-help main central flow. And it's, of course, in the self-help books. It's a simple six-step flow in Self-Help Book 1. And we also have a version of that that we can give others. But, you know, anytime we hold the center of the palms of our hands, so as if in prayer or in a meditative state, or if we have our hands touching the center of the body anywhere, we're accessing that main central. And that is the battery or source of life. That is what makes the heart beat. It's what makes breathing possible. And it's what, it's our source, our energy battery for life. And so I use that every day. And then each day my self-help is customized to whatever I'm feeling or experiencing on any given day. So right now, I facilitate a study group, a Jinshin Jitsu self-help study group, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Zoom for 1 hour. It's free. Anyone can come from anywhere. And we're in the process now, since the first of the year, of holding our safety energy lock 1 on the inside of the knees every day for an hour. And it has been said that if you hold your safety energy lock 1 every day for an hour for a year, that it will transform and change anything in your life. So I've also been incorporating that into my daily practice since the first of the year, but really it just depends. And the beauty is that we have a toolbox full of things. So if we wake up feeling not exactly ourselves, you know, headache, stomach ache, any sort of physical tension anywhere in the body, I just customize whatever self-help I use for the day, depending on how I feel in the moment. So it's really such an incredible gift that way.
Yeah, it's true. It's all, and it's so simple. You can do it like in a meditation. Sometimes I really love to do it in stillness, and another time I'm just watching a movie and doing my mudras or something like that, just to help my body to recover or regenerate it again. So yeah, you can do it whenever and wherever you want. So that's also really the beauty of this art.
Absolutely. We can take it wherever we go, and it meets us wherever we're at. And yes, we can have this conscious, quiet experience in stillness with ourselves as we hold these areas of the body. And we can use it anytime, you know, we're sitting and waiting at the stoplight, or watching a movie at home. Or for me, when my son's playing soccer or basketball, I have lots of opportunities throughout the day where I can get in a little self-help. And it doesn't matter, you know, which experience you wish to have, it's still helping the body, mind, and spirit.
That's also something like which is really powerful, I think, that whole holistic view on life, so that we can really help everything, not only the body or only our mind, but it's really holistic.
Yeah, you know, it really is an art of living, and so much of our mental, emotional well-being has a physiological correspondence in the body. And so oftentimes, you know, our mind convinces us that we have worked through something. And then when someone touches the body, you know, our fascia has this cellular memory, and we begin to feel the connection between thoughts and emotions and how they affect our physical body. And as the body, the tissue releases, those old trapped memories begin to release also.
Yeah. It's just that's also always very beautiful to feel when you are with someone, and you can sometimes really feel an emotion coming through the tissue and release. Gentle going, not like, it's not never hard. It's always the gentle releasing of attention or an emotion.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love the most about Jin Shin Jitsu, is it meets everyone where they're at. And there's never, you know, I think oftentimes people are afraid of experiencing the healing crisis. They've been to a practitioner that practices another modality, and they have experienced some sort of kind of traumatic experience from their session. And Jin Shin Jitsu is so subtle in the way that it works. And the releases come in a person's own way, in their own time. And it's never a forced, I'm doing this to someone. It is that person surrendering or allowing something that they're letting go of. And it's really a beautiful experience instead of like a harsh experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we have been talking a little bit about also your pregnancy, and that you have been supported through your pregnancy with Jin Shin Jitsu. Could you share something about that with us?
Absolutely. So I, you know, the Western term geriatric pregnancy, you know, it's like, ooh, I think I was around 35 when I was pregnant and having Austin. And so I still, and being a Jin Shin Jitsu practitioner, wanted to have a natural birth. You know, I had a doula. I received Jin Shin Jitsu sessions all through my pregnancy. You know, throughout my pregnancy, I had a lot of nausea, and gratefully, through using Jin Shin Jitsu self-help, was able to manage that or manage any of the symptoms that came up during pregnancy. And pregnancy isn't always pretty, as you know, being a mom yourself, and they don't tell you certain things that you experience along the way. So I had Jin Shin Jitsu to help me through all of those little experiences along the way. But I had meconium in my amniotic fluid. And so that kind of already kind of took me off the path that I had planned for myself and for the birth. And I labored 19 hours and ended up having a C-section, a cesarean section. And as a result of Austin kind of sitting in that contaminated fluid, he aspirated some of that, and he ended up being born with a hole in his lung. And of course, gratefully and thankfully, we were in a hospital and they were capable of addressing that, and he received wonderful medical care, as did I. But I have to say, this is one of those defining moments where Jinshin Jutsu was really transformational and helpful. I had a rough recovery from my C-section. And of course, Austin was in the NICU under a canopy with all of the tubes and IVs. And so it was a challenging time for us both. And I would visit the NICU every day to nurse and to give Austin Jinshin Jutsu. And it was really miraculous. Even despite all of those things that were happening, he did not require surgery. Is a few days later together. And I'm really grateful for Jinshin Jutsu, both for my recovery and his, and for all the things that unfolded when we came home in our recovery period. And I have to say, it was really one of those times where I was grateful to have the education and the support. And, you know, even after that, I experienced postpartum depression, which a lot of people don't talk about. And it was certain, I've always been a happy person. And so it was really unexpected for me to have that after experience. And receiving Jinshin Jutsu during that time was really powerful and really transformed that entire experience for me. So it saved my life in many ways through that challenging time.
Yeah. Yeah. And also then you have a little child. You have that baby that needs your care and has all his own challenges maybe in life and maybe accidents and things like that.
Absolutely. And one of the things I didn't mention is for the nausea, I would hold both of my thumbs at the same time throughout my entire pregnancy. And I'll be sure to share a photo with you so you can share it. But when Austin was born, it was amazing. I have a photograph of him under the canopy in the NICU, and he's holding his thumbs the same way I held my thumbs throughout my pregnancy. And he continued to hold that finger pose the same way for several weeks after coming home from the hospital. So it's just amazing the imprint of and the power of our self-help.
Yeah, and of course for me the interesting thing also is that in the thumb the lung flow flows. So absolutely. You think, it's not only helping your nausea, but it was after his birth also helping him to energize the lung.
Absolutely. And we have, of course, the mediator flow, which also balances the breath and helps the body. So many relationships there to the bus line, the way we were holding our thumbs. And so soothing his stomach, you know, he was colicky from all the medications that we were both receiving.
Yeah.
So helping on many different levels.
Yeah. Beautiful, isn't it? And now does he accept Jinshin Jutsu?
Oh, yes. Austin received all of his vaccines as a child. We asked the doctors to have a schedule where we spread them out. But anytime there was any sort of reaction, of course, I gave Austin Jinshin Jutsu to help with any side effects from medications, vaccines. He's really been a healthy, happy child who's rarely sick. You know, he's 9 now, so I'm thinking of a funny story. Sometimes he'll come in and place his hands on me if I ask, if I'm laying on the table giving myself self-help or with our animals. But I have a funny story. There was one time my dad was in town, and so I was giving him a Jinshin Jutsu session at home. And I don't know, Austin was maybe 4 years old at the time. And he walks into the room and he sees that my dad has on shorts and he sees that my dad has an open wound on his leg. So Austin walks right over. He puts his right hand over the wound, which we often share in classes to help close a wound, with his left hand resting on top. And I was really surprised because Austin's never been taught that before. And so I said, "Austin, how did you know how to do that?" And he looked at me without missing a beat, without blinking. And he says, "Years of training and practice." That.
Where did that come from?
Out of the mouth of babes, years of training and practice at 4 years old. Yeah. So I was like, okay. Well, so there really is some sort of part of this art that really is innate, that yes. we really know it. It's just a remembering of what we already know.
Yes, so true. I remember we were on holidays with my parents, and then my father had a hernia kind of pain. He couldn't walk anymore suddenly, and we were going to leave by car back home. So he was really worried that he could not drive himself home. So I had my first Jinjin Jutsu class, did not know a lot yet, but I knew I needed to use my hands on him. So I was giving him a session on his bed. And then both my daughters came in and they started to place their hands also on his body. And I didn't say what they needed to do. They were just like, it was so natural to them. And yeah, indeed, my father was able to drive his car home himself. And I think within 1.5 days, the whole issue was released. And he always says, yeah, those sweet little healing hands of your daughters. They helped me to get out of this, out of this project very fast. And you use it on your animals too. And you have a lot of animals.
Yes. Horses love Jinjin Jutsu. They are such magic mirrors. And I always feel like our creatures are our greatest teachers. And I've had so many stories along the way. We raise and breed horses. So one story stands out in my mind in particular, and there are many, but we had a filly who was born head first. And naturally, they need to come out front feet first. And so the veterinarian was there and he had to push the filly back inside and then pull out her feet first. So during that small window of time in those minutes where he was adjusting her so that she could come out, she had some oxygen deprivation. And the farm that she was at had oxygen available. And so she received oxygen as soon as she was born. And so we were all there monitoring her. And I was giving her Jinjin Jutsu from the beginning. But after an hour, she was not having a suckle reflex. You know, she wasn't able to stand and nurse. And so we knew that the deprivation causing some serious effects in the body. So we rushed the filly to about an hour away in Lexington, Kentucky. And of course, you know, they put her on oxygen. She's got a feeding tube. So about those first 3 or 4 days, we were getting reports about how she was doing. And she was still in a pretty critical situation. She still wasn't able to nurse on her own. She was still having trouble swallowing. Kidney and spleen evaluations were all off the charts, you know, lots of infection in the body. And so about the 5th day, I had the opportunity to drive over to Lexington, and I took my animal book with me, and they let me in with her. You know, I dressed up in all the garb, and I started giving her Jinjin Jutsu. I came back for a couple of days in a row, but amazingly, during that time, she was able to stand and suckle and nurse. Her evaluations for all of her internal organs were coming back better. They were able to remove the feeding tube and the oxygen, and she really had a profound turnaround. And obviously she never could have survived without the medical intervention, but I feel like the Jinjin Jutsu was the spark. You know, we had given several days of that intense medical treatment, and she was really starting to decline and was kind of teetering on that edge of whether or not we would need to put her down. And it's like the Jinjin Jutsu, her body was so taxed and so overwhelmed that all she needed was this little spark to kind of have all of her systems come back online and to transform and be vital again. And, you know, from that experience, she grew. There was never any problems moving forward after that. And I was really grateful for the opportunity to be present in that way. And we've had several situations over the years where foals have been born and needed a little extra helping hand from Jinjin Jutsu, and we've had really miraculous experiences.
Yeah, it is so what I see when I do Jinjin Jutsu on the horse or on my dog or on an animal, or they do not want it at all and they walk away from you, or they are really surrendering to it, And really, you can feel the body relaxing and feel sometimes like the little muscle tensions going away. So I always find it also very interesting when they decline the help or the touch.
Yes.
Or when they can really surrender to it.
And they do. And I always honor that. And animals, much like children, when they're finished, they walk away. And so I never, you know, chase them with my jumper cables. They've had enough. And, you know, we trust and honor that.
Yeah. And they know.
They know.
They know.
I have a stallion, and an elder stallion that I work with. And I've been working with him for 2 years. And the trainer contacted me. He was having some instability, and he was in a bit of an emergency situation. And once they got him stabilized and brought him home, they wanted to use something non-invasive to support him. They were afraid of chiropractic care or even acupuncture, that some of these other modalities might have a destabilizing effect, because the source of what was causing the instability was unknown. You know, they were really reluctant to try things. And one of the ladies at the farm was a longtime client of mine, and she suggested Jinshin Jitsu. And I came, and they saw how gentle and effective it was and how much he enjoyed it. And I've been coming ever since, and he's been fine ever since. Again, he could not have had a successful recovery without his veterinary team and all the medical care that he receives. But he's really had this incredible journey, and even at his age, he's still breeding. So it's been a really incredible thing to watch how vital he's been, and just simply receiving gentle touch once a week.
Yeah, it's beautiful to work with the animals who are so surrendering sometimes to it, and so receptive or something like that. So I was wondering if you have met Mary Burmeister yourself personally, because I just missed it. I was planning on going to Scottsdale and hope to meet Mary Burmeister, but yes, she deceased in January of that same year. So I just missed that experience. So I was wondering if you had the experience of meeting Mary.
Unfortunately, I never had the opportunity to meet Mary either. And I started going to the office for sessions and classes after she passed away. But I did have the opportunity to meet her best friend, Patricia Medor, who worked in the office well into her 90s, and to receive sessions from her. And it was such an incredible gift. She really had a very unique presence. And if there ever was a being on this earth who had an angelic quality, who really lived the art of Jinshin Jitsu and the essence of Be the Smile, it was Pat. And she had this, we would say, this butterfly touch, but when you got up off the table, it was like you'd been hit by a velvet sledgehammer. Even though she had the kiss of a butterfly when she would touch you with her hands, she had a very powerful connection in her jumper cables. She would tell the most amazing stories about Mary in the early days when they were both living in California together, and about how on Sunday afternoon, Mary would have six couples, and she and her husband were one of the original six couples that would come to Mary and Gil Burmeister's house and learn and study Jinshin Jitsu and receive self-help. And so hearing some of those stories were so magical. And even though I never had the opportunity to meet Mary, it did feel like somehow you got to know the essence of Mary in spending time with Pat.
Yes, she's a lovely lady, isn't she? I have been with her too for a week, and at that time she was 95. And then she told the story that she just came home from Los Angeles because her son had a party because he retired. And there she was every day in the practice. She was the first to come and the last to go. And I had those wonderful sessions and this amazing experience with her. And she was working the whole week. And I think she had 31 clients that week.
Yeah, she was an incredible inspiration for all of us in living the art.
Yeah, like my aunt, she has been working until her 80s, and your mentor is also still working at 75, not with the idea that she cannot retire, but just because she still has so much to give.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, before the start of the pandemic, it never occurred to me how attached I was to being a Jinshin Jitsu practitioner and being with the people that I love. And it wasn't until I had the absence of being in person with people for that, at least that initial 3 months when things were really closed down at the beginning, I really kind of had to reconcile this desire to be with everyone. And of course, we have found non-traditional ways, giving remote sessions and Zooming. But I've really been amazed at how people have utilized their self-help to support themselves during this time. And you know, before the pandemic, of course, I always offered self-help. People used it. But really, I had the opportunity to see, and my clients to have the opportunity to see how they really could support themselves during that time. And that was an incredible gift. You know, at the beginning, a lot of my clients, and I teach a free weekly self-help class for Gilda's Club here, which is a cancer support community. Many of them were unable to see their doctors, to receive the therapies that they would normally have during that time, and to be able to offer self-help and have them use it, and for them to have effective experiences caring for themselves during that time was an incredible gift. It was really humbling to be present and see and how people were really able to support themselves through one of the most difficult times we've all had on this planet.
Yeah, a profound experience to see how we can support each other and connect with each other also through the remote world or the virtual world together, and see how people can help themselves and each other also. So yeah, let's be in an exercise ourselves. So is there one you want to share with us?
I would love to share. And one of my favorite things is just to give ourselves a big hug. And so you simply just place your hands, your fingertips, however you can comfortably reach, with your hands underneath the armpits. And I like to rest my thumbs on my chest. Not everybody that's comfortable for. So by all means, give yourself a hug in a way that's comfortable for you. But we have a safety energy lock 26, which lays kind of on that lateral border of the scapula where your fingertips naturally rest when you give yourself a hug. And it helps to bring total and complete harmony and balance to the body. So, and we naturally see people do this anyway. So I'd love to invite everyone to just join me. Is it okay if I walk us through a few conscious exhaling and inhaling breaths?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so I'd like to invite everyone, if you're at home, whether you're sitting or lying down, I'd love to invite you to close the eyes. And just for a moment, let us bring our conscious awareness within ourselves. You can bow or rest the head and begin to feel the weightlessness of your head and neck on your shoulders. We can melt the shoulders into the toes. And we can stop carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. We can exhale and let go of all of our dirt, dust, and our greasy grime. And we can inhale and receive the purified breath of life, revitalizing, renewing, and resourcing, regenerating every tissue of the body, every organ, and every cell. And just for a moment, be aware, where is my cosmic stardust settling? Where do I maybe feel tension, discomfort, or even pain? We can be aware of it without judging it or labeling it. It's just our body saying hello and reminding us where we have homework with our self-help. Remember, with each exhaling breath, we can move through that area of discomfort. And with each inhaling breath, again, we receive all that is needed for our health, our harmony, and our happiness. So let us now receive 9 conscious exhaling and inhaling breaths together. And whenever you're ready and with the rhythm of your own breath, before you open your eyes, just see what you notice. Did your body have a message for you today in the silence and stillness? Did the source speak to you? And remember, we don't have to bring judgment, only awareness, and trust in the breath of life. And whenever you're ready, you can simply open the eyes and relax the hands.
Thank you so much for this. It's always nice to be guided through an exercise, I think, and really one of my favorites too. Immediately when I put my hands in the big hug, I immediately feel already like the relaxation starting. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Marna. This has been so much fun. I feel like we could talk all weekend.
Yes. Thank you so much for this hour almost with us and spending your time with us. It has been really fun to talk to you today here on the podcast. I hope that it inspired the people who are listening to the podcast. And who knows, we will talk sometime another time on the podcast again about maybe another subject or a specific subject. But for now, I wish you a very nice weekend because it's our weekend that we are recording this. What a wonderful conversation Kelly and I had. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did and that it inspires you to use your hands on yourself, your kids, or maybe your pet. You heard us talk about the self-help books of Mary Burmeister, which are the true introduction to this Japanese healing art, teaching you how you can use your hands to help yourself and your loved ones. I have created online self-help courses around these books in Dutch and English. On my website, you can find all the information about them, as well as a lot of free resources you can start with right now. Thank you for listening and sharing your time and space with us. When you felt inspired and supported, please share this episode with a friend or with someone who you think would love to listen to this episode. You can find me on Facebook and on Instagram as well as Kelly, and please share your thoughts about this episode with me or with her. So, until next week, I send you my gratitude and love and speak to you soon.